Every human being has an inherited right to speak, to be heard, and to be understood. Each of us has three unchangeable, undeniable core needs: to belong, to be worthy, to be competent. When one of these three is out of balance, we begin to condemn ourselves and judge others, place unhealthy stress on our bodies, our relationships with ourselves, friends and family, and even our life work are judged. The power of words and the intent of our questions are the first steps to our peaceful and prosperous now and future. Call in and let's create choices for your destiny. 888-627-6008.
Welcome to the Linda S. Brewer, Your Destiny Architect Show. The intent of our show is for you to have an opportunity to call in and ask questions about a conflict in your life, be it a relationship, health, finances, or life work issue. Call in this evening, 888-627-6008, and be heard, be understood, and create a choice for your next step. We are grateful tonight to have with us as our guest Barbara Mavay Little. She is an author, she's a writer, she is a publisher, and she has had a journey of living life in an extraordinary way, but managing it with peace. She had the privilege of sitting with Dr. Lester Savay as he and his wife were in the latter part of their years. And Dr. Lester had the ability not only to heal the human heart, but he had the gift and the wisdom to help open up the spiritual heart for wisdom and peace. So, well, I wish we could open the lines and we could all welcome Miss Barbara, but we can't. But Barbara, welcome. We look forward to your wisdom and your sharing tonight. And
thank you.
Let's begin with how you got connected and what it meant to him and that part of his life, and to his wife, and how it impacted you. So welcome.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be on your show. I've listened to many of them, and I really like the content. Dr. Savage would have been thrilled to have been on your show if he could do so, but he passed away right after we finished his book, Opening Hearts. And I got connected to him through his son-in-law, who happened to be my dentist before he retired. And he remembered that I was a writer, and they were having trouble. Dr. Savage had tried to work on this last book of his for about 10 years. And it was the same 10 years that I was spending really honing my writing skills. I had been fired from this wonderful job that I absolutely adored, that I thought was part of God's plan for me, but I think God had a different plan. And when I was fired from that job, I looked at all the things that I was good at, that I could do, and I decided that of all the things that I could do, writing was the one that I liked best. And so I started taking classes and workshops, and for 10 years, I worked for other people. And when Dr. Savage's son-in-law called one morning and said, I'd like you to look at this project. It's a very, very important project to my father-in-law. We sat and we met and we had coffee. It was just an amazing beginning to a relationship that lasted from that day until a year and a half later when Dr. Savage died.
And, Barb, do you have, and if you can't share it, yes or no is the perfect answer, do you have an insight as to why he wasn't able to complete the book? without
until he met you? He had been working with a few other people that had, he and I were really on the same page spiritually. And this book, above all, is the synthesis of everything he learned as a cardiovascular surgeon. He became a cardiovascular surgeon. He went to college at 16, medical school at 17, and became a world-renowned surgeon by the time he was in his early 20s. And very quickly on, he discerned that he could mechanically fix all the hearts in the world. But if people didn't look at their lives and make better, more loving choices for their lives, they would keep coming back to him. He had gone to Gonzaga University, which is a Jesuit school, and for his undergrad, and then to St. Louis University, which is another Jesuit school, for his medical school. And while he was an undergrad, he was deciding, should he be a priest or should he be a doctor? And he discerned that he could better serve God by being a doctor, but he never lost that priestly presence. And he never lost the belief that people needed to be whole and needed to make loving choices for their lives. And so he discovered that he could fix the hearts. He had an amazing, amazing gift in fixing hearts. And but people wouldn't heal, ultimately, until they chose to love themselves and repair the relationships with those who are around them. So
to
answer your question, he didn't finish because the other people that were working with him didn't understand that that was his real motivation. That's what he wanted to do. And not having, you know, he spent 40 years as a surgeon, not as a writer. And so he didn't know how to tell the story he wanted to tell.
And as you were talking about him, I could just sense that you were like a spiritual presence for him that just tapped into his core with a gift and a talent and the patience and the compassion and love for him and his message. And so describe what it was like for you to be there day in and day out and be such a vital part of this wonderful journey.
Well, his message was so much the same message that I've been trying to get out. I'm not just a writer. I'm a spiritual director, and I'd been a hospice volunteer for many years as well. And I came into Dr. Savage's life when he was 87 years old, and his wife was a year or two younger. They were living in an assisted living facility, and she had severe Alzheimer's. But the one thing she knew was how much she loved him and how much he loved her. And it was just an amazing journey for me to be in their presence every day and see that. I mean, I'd go there and work with him and then go back home and, you know, take all of the things that we had talked about or that he had shared with me and then start to piece them together. But shortly after I was hired to work with him, he had back surgery and then had a stroke on the day that we were going to start working again. And as his wife was, I mean, they were two elderly people who were so saintly and so loving and so caring. And so to be in their presence, he was a man who held other people's hearts in their hand and fixed them. But now he was in a place because he had Parkinson's disease, in which sometimes he couldn't even go to the bathroom by himself. Yet he never was angry about that. He wasn't angry with God or a higher power. He accepted everything with such grace and such peace. And I watched him and I thought, I want that peace. And I had always been a faithful person. My journey has taken me through these spiritual roads. But I had personally, I experienced a great tragedy about a year before I started working with Dr. Savage in that my granddaughter died. And it seemed that everything that was my foundation crumbled. And then when I worked with him, I remembered all the things that I used to know. And he restored in me my sense of spirituality, which I think is critical to being a human being. I think we are not just physical beings. We are spiritual beings. And when we forget that, we can sometimes get into trouble. And for him, the spirit and the body were one as well. And that's how he treated people. He treated their bodies, but he also offered his faith and his love to help treat their spirit. So being with him was like being in the presence of a modern-day saint.
Wow, what a story. And it seems like you were just able to just absorb all of that into every cell of your body, and such a living example of his message and what he wanted to do. So congratulations, and what a Thank gift you. That y'all were to each other. That is amazing.
That is absolutely true. We were a gift to each other. And you'd asked what it was like for them. Once I got the book done to a particular point, I would go, because his reading was getting bad, his speech was getting bad. I don't know if you know anything about Parkinson's disease, but people who have it have difficulty with their communication. But I had worked with him so long by this time that I understood everything he was trying to say to me. And I would read to him from the book to get his opinion. Is this what you meant? Is this how you want to say it? Is this? And as I would read to him, we no longer worked in the office. We worked next to his wife because she was becoming more and more incapacitated. And so I'd sit there and read to them for hours at a time sometimes. And there was one time I thought she had no idea what was going on around her. And when I finished reading, she said, "Oh, that was so nice." And I thought, oh, what a gift to me. She was there. She was present with us, listening. And I think it was the day that I was reading to him about that. He has a chapter on pain. If there's a God in heaven, why is there pain? Why is there suffering? And so it was the explanation of that. And I read to the family as she was dying. There were days when they would come in, the children, they had 8 children. And so the children and the spouses would come in, and I would be reading. And Dr. Savage always would say to me, "Keep reading, keep reading." And the family members would say, "Oh, that's so soothing." And so as she died, I was reading to her, and then she died. And he was grief-stricken. They'd been married 60 years. And so reading the book to him, and I'm reading it as a part of the editing process. You know, I'm trying to find all the structures of the sentences that don't work right, any ideas that don't flow. And so I'm reading it for a purpose for the editing process. But as they did, it was a comfort to him. And it was such a comfort to me that I was able to give him that. And when we finally finished, he died. Like, within hours, he died. Because his work was done, and he wanted to go be with his wife. And he died 2 days before their anniversary.
Life is truly amazing like that, isn't it, Barbara? When we're connected to who we are, and we are able to remain who we are, but yet be connected to other people, and being able to let go and know when life is completed, and to be able to go with such a contribution and peace, and to have someone with your gift and compassion by his side, that I call it nothing but amazing, because it truly is. And your ability and your gifts and talents to be used in such a way as part of your healing, but also part of your legacy as you are involved in your family. And so that
absolutely.
is...
Absolutely. And I want to add just a little bit about the beginning of the story. The day that Dr. Savage's son-in-law called me, Dr. Paul Huddleston, I had just finished a 21-day meditation. I had, at the beginning of that year, this was like November of 2014. And so in January of 2014, I said I only wanted work that mattered. You know, I'd been doing writing for lawyers and financial people, and not to say that those jobs aren't important. Everybody's job is important. But to me, what matters is that people know that they are loved, that they can heal, that they are whole, and that they don't need to be judged by other people. And so those are the kinds of things that matter to me. And so I had made a commitment to myself that I was going to do that. And I had gotten some good projects, you know, that was all right. But I had done this 21-day meditation about how to create the life in work that you wanted. And I had just finished that meditation, and what I got out of it was that you're supposed to surrender, that you offer the gifts, that each of us are given particular gifts, that you offer those gifts in service to others. And so that morning, the morning that Dr. Savage's son-in-law called me, I had verbally said, I offer my gifts in service. And that's when I got the phone call, like within hours of that, of stating that after meditating for 21 days about what was my next step in life. And it, to me, it was amazing. I just couldn't. And then I didn't worry about the length of time it took for everything to emerge, because I understood. I knew when I met Dr. Savage that I was the right person to work with him, and that I knew his message was the same message I had. That, in fact, it's the quote that we put in the front of the book: no matter the question, love is the answer. But people don't know how to accept love. They don't know how to love themselves. And oftentimes that fear takes over where love should be. And so if people could just learn to let go of fear, and in that moment of working, of waiting for this project to materialize, I had no fear. And I thought, this is how I want to live for the rest of my life, without fear and with just love.
Yes, and in my experiences, that there are people, you can't give away something you've never had,
yeah.
And so many of my clients have never had love, and
yeah.
It is such a word that is so foreign to them or creates such fear in them. We
yeah.
have interchanged that word with honor with a lot of my clients. But we truly can't give away. And I admire and appreciate the way that you were prepared to be in his presence and to be able to be his wordsmith and to put it together. And you have on your website, words have amazing power, and
mm-hmm.
words are, wow. I live by that, and I find myself every day just changing my language, just one word or whatever, and the difference it makes in the peace and the power and the love that I feel toward me, and that when I go out in the world, I'm not worried about whether someone likes me or doesn't like me or whatever. Whatever I say, I say with the intention of love and honoring that human being.
And I think that is, and that's the example that Dr. Savage set for all the, I came to understand in the 18 months that I worked with him how renowned he was. He was called the Mother Teresa of cardiovascular surgery, because he loved his patients. He really did. That was, And you're right, there's so many people that experience life without that gift of love from someone else. But I think one of the things that we all need to do is love who we are and accept ourselves. I think sometimes we get caught in this idea that someone else's idea of who we are is what we are or who we are. And it's not true, that we have to embrace both our gifts and our weaknesses, because all of them are part of what teaches us how to be human, how to care for other people, how to be of service to other people, not in a slavish sort of way, but out of compassion for our shared humanity.
And I love the questions that he had in the book, the three questions. Why do you want to live longer?
Mm-hmm.
Do you wish to be happier? And what is happiness to you? And do you have any comments or anything you would like to expound upon any of those questions that he would ask his patients?
Well, he asked them, one of the ways we present that in the book is that he stood on the threshold of life and death. These people who were in his care were very close to death. This was, back in the 60s and 70s, where the technologies weren't quite as they are now, and he was part of creating the technologies that exist now. So he knew that people had to have a reason to live, a motivation to live. And I think it's true of any one of us. Why do we want to live? Whether it's longer or just why do we want to live at all? And to be able to articulate for yourself, I want to live because, because some people would say, well, I want to travel. My wife and I want to travel. And he said, okay, you've gone around the world 6 times now. What do you want to do? And his idea, Dr. Savage's belief, was that when we are in service to others, we find meaning. And I think what many people are looking for in their lives now is a sense of doing work that matters, of having meaning. And in order to do that, you have to be of service to others, but in order to be of service well to others, you have to understand who you are and make loving choices for yourself. Without those loving choices for yourself, with that honor for yourself and respect for yourself, you can't, as you said before, you can't give what you don't have.
And Barbara, we're going to be, unfortunately, coming to the end of our time in a few moments and taking a break for our sponsors. And would you like to take this opportunity to share with people how they can get in touch with you and can get your books and anything you would like to share with them?
Well,
about how to connect.
The books are available on Amazon.com, and I was trying to find a way to give your listeners a special discount, and I couldn't quite make that happen. So if they were to contact me at info@betterlifepress.com and say they heard about the book Opening Hearts on your show, I will give them a discount and have the book directly sent to them. The book retails for $14.99, and I will give it to them for $10.99, and then they just pay the shipping and handling. So, if they wanted to get in touch with me at info@betterlifepress.com, or they could get in touch with me through my website, barbaramulveylittle.com, they can get a discount, because I don't want to make money on this book. I want people to have the information. This is Dr. Savage's healing legacy. And he was a genius and a saint. And you're right, it was a gift to be in his presence. And with this book, other people can be in his presence as well.
And yours, my friend. Don't discount that. To just listen to you talk and the compassion and as we would say down south, how well you're put together with it's just peaceful. So, and You are a blessing. And
thank you
for the gift to the listeners. And please, if you don't read any other book, read this book. And what a gift to your family and to you. If you don't have a family, what a gift to yourself to read this book during this particular season of our lives, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, to open your heart, your spiritual heart. And I believe when we open our spiritual hearts and let them heal, then our bodies and our minds heal amazingly.
Amen.
Would you agree with that, Ms. Barbara?
Absolutely. That is the whole point, is that we're one. Our body, mind, and spirit is one. And if one part is out of balance, all is out of balance. You pull it all together, healing happens. We can heal ourselves.
Yes. Well, Barbara,
thank you so much for this opportunity, Linda. I really appreciate it.
Well, it has been my blessing, and I am overjoyed to have made our connection and to learn about this awesome book and the writer and the doctor. And so we will look forward to staying connected with you, and may you and yours be richly, richly blessed. And every word you speak, every thought you think, every action you take, and your destinies will be great ones. Blessings, my friend.
Blessings to you, too. Thank you.
Thank you. And at this time, we will take a short informative break from one of our sponsors, and we will look forward to connecting with you shortly. Thank you.
Have you ever caught yourself thinking, what is wrong with me? What is the belief that stops me? I know I have amazing potential locked inside and an incredible destiny waiting now. The unhealthy belief, which is always rooted in a lie, do I belong? Am I worthy? Am I competent? Which creates an unhealthy relationship with oneself and others. Stress within and between. Battles of self-worth and value, anxieties and past failures all have the potential to lead us into a skewed view of what is a healthy relationship. Connect now with Linda Brewer to discover your belief that is stopping you from creating the destiny you were born to live. You speak, you are heard, you choose your destiny. Visit her at lsgcorporate.com.
Thank you for joining us for the second half of your Destiny Architect show. Remember, the intention of our show is to call and ask a question about a conflict in your life, be it a relationship, health, finances, or life work issue. Call 888-627-6008 and ask your question, be understood, be honored, to create a choice to make a difference in your life. We are honored to have with us Dr. Jean Logan. Jean is an ordained minister, a doctorate in holistic nutritional healing, and is the director of the Holy Ground Farm. Jean, I love that Holy Ground Farm. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me here.
And I can tell you one thing about Dr. Logan. She is patient and kind. So I appreciate that more than words can express, but I will do my best. So, Dr. Logan, share with us what you think is the most important thing about the books you've authored or the work that you're doing, and how we can connect with the greatness of you.
Well, I am guided to create symbols. I'm given by the divine symbols that help heal people. And I receive them starting years ago. I've been doing this for about 12 or 14 years. And right now I have three books that are in 80 countries of the world. And they have glyphs. The glyph is a small symbol that has meaning to it. And the glyph literally has the power. Like one of the first ones I created was one to remove fear. And when I created this little symbol and put it on my solar plexus, I could literally feel something being drawn out of my arms and out of my breast. And the depression and the fear that I felt years ago slowly went away. And years ago, I didn't really know what my purpose was. Now I have no doubt. And that is the greatest joy in the world, is understanding why you're here. And I continued to create these glyphs to remove the anger that we're holding in us, the sadness, and all the things that keep us from knowing who we truly are and finding our divine path. Excuse me.
And so was there any particular thing that led up to this moment in time and that brought the inspiration on? And is there a process or a stage that you get to that you develop the symbol?
Well, I've always been the one who was controlled by fear. And I was always looking, trying to seek and understand why I was here. And then one day, someone sent me an email that had a symbol in that looked like a little a glyph in it that looked like a little picture of a bug, like a centipede. And it said that this would remove parasites from our body that hold fear in us. And I thought, wow, that's just what I need. So I printed it out, cut out the little picture, and it was about 2 inches high, and it said, use with integrity, and I wasn't sure exactly how, but I must have been guided to. I put it against my solar plexus. And I went, as soon as I did that, I felt a tremendous commotion going on over in my liver area. And this went on for, maybe 10 minutes. Well, it seemed like 10 minutes. It probably was less. And then it subsided. And I thought, well, I didn't know what it was. I think I had it, and I think it's gone. And years before that, I had been meditating, and I saw before me in my meditation a picture like a blackboard with chalk writing on it. And I felt like this was telling me to try guided writing. So I went out on the deck and just tried to empty my mind and started writing whatever came to me. The first page was just gibberish, but the second page, I realized I was getting guidance from my we can call them guides or whatever a person prefers to call them. Anyway, I was getting some tremendous guidance, and I asked them, how did this person who gave that power to that picture, how did they do that? And they said, well, just decide what you want the drawing, the glyph to be, and then write out the instructions and draw the picture and then have a ceremony, where you call on the higher powers to help you. So I did that, and I called on Jesus, Buddha, Mary, Saint Germain, every spiritual being I could think of, and asked them to help me. And that's what really started it. And what, to my amazement, it really, I can feel the negativity being drawn out of me, and as this is drawn out, it's filled with God's light.
And so through this process and through your work and your divine appointment, you have learned to love yourself. So is your background there wasn't love in your family, or if you can share what you can share about how you got to this point, that you needed this fear released.
Well, I was just from the time I was a small child, I was afraid of everything. And there was no reason. I had loving parents as much as they could. They were from a German background where there was not a lot of hugging and verbal expression of love. But they were good parents, and they did the best they could. And I think I was just a needy child, and I had so much fear in me. When I graduated from high school, I was offered a paid-for college education, and I turned it down because I thought I would have to get up and speak in front of people if I went to college. And so my life just went on like that. I grabbed the first man who asked me to marry him just because I was afraid nobody else would want me. It just went. And, of course, one neurotic attracts another neurotic, so I married an alcoholic and stayed in that for 20 years, and again for the same reason of fear. And so that just had controlled my life. So now I speak in many places, and I'm helping others. My goal is to reach out and help others to be who they want to be what they're supposed to be, to help them let go of the things that are holding them back. And I went on to create glyphs that removed parasites, glyphs that healed damaged nerves, glyphs that detoxify the body. I just went on making one right after another, and they have been profoundly successful, just profoundly successful.
Well, and I certainly sense and hear that. And so congratulations on finding you. And as you were speaking, I thought of all the listeners and the adults and teenagers and people who are wondering, you know, what's wrong with me? And some of them are brought up in very rough situations, but some of them are brought up in very loving parents. But sometimes we come with these fears from generations, which I believe, and you can share yours, that we come with this generational stuff that needs to be detoxed out, whether it's an emotion, a belief, a physical ailment, or whatever.
I agree.
And there's many paths. And so of all the energy healing you have done, the glyphs that you're doing has been your path and your breakthrough. And are there other healing energies that you add into part of your healing, or is that such a gift for you that's where you mainly focus?
I try to focus on that because it's easy to spread yourself too thin. Sometimes I work with crystals when I'm testing an idea for the glyphs. But the glyphs go on to do physical healing as well. And as I would have issues, like I've had a serious heart condition, I created a glyph to heal my heart. And my heart condition is gone. And I created a glyph for the eyes, which healed my ex-husband of cataracts and glaucoma. And one woman just wrote me that she had used a glyph to heal macular degeneration. So
wow.
The glyphs went on. I have three books, Unlocking the Power of Glyphs, Sacred Symbols of Light, and their Symbols of the Dawn. And if anybody wants to find, they are on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and also from my website, which is Dr. Jean, J-E-A-N, Logan, Logan.com. And these books are absolutely phenomenal. And what people ask me, well, do I have to believe in these for them to work? And I said, well, they work absolutely wonderfully on pets, on dogs and cats, and they don't believe anything. But on the other hand, they don't doubt anything. They don't have any opinion. They don't have any judgment. So they work exceptionally well on animals. We've had one case right after another, even animals who have been saved from having been put to sleep because they could be healed by the glyphs when the doctors, the veterinarians, couldn't help them.
And I admire and appreciate how you have integrated all of your gifts and talents into your work at the Holy Ground Farm. Would you like the listeners to know more about that part of your life and your giving
right.
back?
Certainly. All of the profits from the sale of the books go to support Indigenous children through our nonprofit Holy Ground Farm. And if you go to my website, you'll be able to see things that we're doing with the children. Also on Facebook, I have a page called Holy Ground Farm. And there's also a page on Facebook about the glyphs and videos about the glyphs. It's called Unlocking the Power of Glyphs. And that's a Facebook page. We have over 12,000 members on it already. And the book is also, the first book is also in Spanish.
And how did the Holy Ground Farm idea develop itself?
It's interesting. I just felt we moved up to the mountains in North Carolina and we bought a large piece of land, something we got a good price in it, but it was all or nothing. And I just felt on this one piece, so it's 60 acres, I just pictured this big building and I saw children running around and I thought, what is this? Why do I see this? Why? And I was never one who was really fond of children. I have two of my own, but I wasn't one of these people like, oh, let me hold your baby. And I was never one want to hold anybody's baby and take care of children. But I just saw this all the time, this big building with children, and I thought, well, is this a school? Are we teaching them something? Are we healing them? And where are they children from this country? Are they from another country? And then I had purchased a house next door on repossession, and I rented it out to a family who was taking care of an autistic boy. And when I was working with him, and I suddenly realized I felt like this place should be to help special needs children. But I felt I should be doing more than that. I felt like I should be helping children who didn't have any chance in life. And in foreign countries, the situation is really, it's bad here in this country, but it's really bad in foreign countries. The degree of abandonment of children and trafficking of children, selling their children, is appalling. And so I felt guided to assist by helping orphanages over in third world countries, which we did. And that was just a vision I had, and I just felt it's a tremendous need. The unwanted children is just a tremendous need. And that's how Holy Ground Farm got started. It's a 501c3.
Now, do they actually come to your farm, or are you just...
No, they don't. Not only like campers in hiking. The land is up there is undeveloped, but it does have a campground, a primitive campground, and they can come for picnicking, camping, and hiking in the wilderness and nature talks, so forth.
And you also... have guidance on how to raise healthy children.
Right. Being a nutritionist, I think one of the sad things in our society is people don't have a clue. I mean, you go to the grocery store and you see people with a bunch of children, and you look in their shopping cart, and it's loaded with soda pop and cookies and all processed foods, and we are not giving parents any guidance on how to feed their children correctly. And this has caused tremendous problems with obesity and childhood diseases that are avoidable. And that really is a failing of our whole society. It's just that the corporate interests control the food, and they control so many aspects of the government that we're not doing the best thing we can for our children.
I have studied under Gary Young with Young Living Oils for 30-something years, and he would go up into mountaintops and people that didn't even know how old they were, but they didn't have any diseases. And when the Americans sent their Pepsi Colas and potato chips and things there, they started coming down with all kind of illnesses. And so, and Jean, you are a gift to the world, and I congratulate you on breaking through those fears and becoming the radiant light you are and the sacred light you are. And the world's a safer and a brighter place because you're here and your contributions. And do you have anything you would like to tell? You told them briefly how to get in touch with you, but what else would you like for them to know about their choices to break through the stress, the fears, the sickness, the entanglements of life, as so many people in the world know it?
I just think it's important for everybody to understand that they are always in control of their life. It's like you are in a movie and you are writing the script and you are responsible. When something happens, it's what we create in our life. We all create our own reality, and you can create a reality that works for you. And that's one of the purposes of the glyphs in the book, is they'll help you remove the things that are holding you back so you can be free. We are unlimited. We are totally unlimited. The only limitations that we have are that which we place upon ourselves. We tend to be our own worst enemy. And we can get past that. We can get past that. We can let go of what's holding us back. We can be the person that we want to be. The sky is the limit. We can be anything we want if we just let go of all of the stuff that's holding us back.
And in reality, it's never what we think it is that's holding us back. It's just our belief system and our inability to break through it. And and on your website, our listeners can contact you for very, what I would call, very inviting opportunities to have phone consultations with you and tap into that gentleness, but that strength and that clarity that you have to help move them through to brighter choices and a brighter life.
Yes, that's true.
Yes. So your books are found on Amazon.com.
Right. And if they type in my name, it might be the quickest, easiest way. They don't have to write down the name of the, just go to the books and type in Jean, J-E-A-N, Logan, L-O-G-A-N. And all of my books and cards will come up. And it's also at Barnes & Noble, but you'll need the name of the book for that. And the names of the books are Unlocking the Power of Glyphs, Sacred Symbols of Light, and Symbols of the Dawn. And the website is drjeanlogan.com. And the books are there also. And the books are also available in digital format The advantage of the e-books is you print out the glyphs and use them. You can take the glyphs and tape them to your, like your solar plexus, or put them under the bottoms of your feet, and they will literally draw out all the emotional and heal physical issues that we have.
And one of the truths that I believe is that we are just, our body is just energetically crying to be healed.
Right.
And our bodies are talking to us, and that we are one, and we've come with a purpose, and we can heal, and it's a journey, but it is healing. So, well, Dr. Jean, thank you so much for being with us this evening, and thank you for your patience and your kindness to me. For the listeners, I have not honored Dr. Jean in a way that I would want to be honored, so I publicly ask her for her forgiveness, and it had to do with my timing and losing my notes, and she has gracefully followed through with me. And so tonight we have been blessed with your presence, and we will be blessed with your work as we go forth. And I am delighted to know you and to be with you. So thank you again for joining us, and may you and yours have a great life.
Okay, thank you very much, Linda. Good night now.
Thank you. Good night. And this will be the end of our call this evening. And you can reach me at lindasbrewer.com. And if you have a question that you would like for us to explore on the show, if you would email me at Linda B, that's Linda B as in boy, at Linda S as in Sam, Brewer.com. And put in the subject of the email, your Destiny Architect Show. We will cover these in the weeks to come. Or you can text me at 864-205-2518. And we are going to be, during Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, we are going to have a theme, relationship. And this relationship is about a relationship with yourself and how you develop it with others, with family members, associates, spouses, in-laws, whatever, and how to heal these relationships where everyone feels honored and loved. Thank you for being with us this evening. And you matter, and you belong. And you are worthy to create a great life that will create a great destiny where you can make the contribution and out of your uniqueness, just as our guest did tonight. Thank you for joining us, and may the blessings of this season and every season in your life be joyful. Create a great life. Good night.